Everything has a beginning. The first meeting, the first day, the first encounter, the first kiss, the first word on the clean page. Beginnings. Of creation, no less, we heard this morning from Genesis chapter 1. Scientists take us back and back, relentlessly pursuing the beginning, Genesis, creation. Out of nothing, from nothing, everything. Or perhaps we would say, from God, everything. One source, one origin, one originator. So believers believe. Coherence, sense, constancy across the whole unimaginably vast cosmos, because it explodes out of one reality at the will of the ageless, timeless, fathomless reality we cannot explain but call God. The uncreated, underived, the one who simply is, and who was, and who will be. This one, this creative energy, broods, hovers, moves over the chaos and formlessness that was all there was. And something happens. Light happens, and with light, of course, heat, and life and heat and water, life happens. Genesis gives us the spiritual poetry of it. Scientists tell the story of evolution. Both speak truth. One of facts, one of meaning. God is in both. Now come to another kind of chaos over which God's Spirit broods. The human condition. People in their disorder and need. Come flocking with the crowd into the heat of the Jordan Valley. Come to find a weird wilderness voice proclaiming a return to God and God's ways, a chance to start again. Ah, how good that sounds. That's really New Year, isn't it? Resolutions and all of that. But more, it's about revival. But can you have revival if there was nothing there before? You can have revival if people have lost their faith or walked away from their faith. You can't revive something that wasn't there. In a secular age, perhaps it's not revival we're looking for. It's something different than that. It's a beginning. It's mission. Well, I've been struck this year once again how relentlessly, as soon as the calendar turns, we are bombarded with the sort of programs that encourage us to change our lives. All the pop psychology and all the makeover programs are about this. Can I, aging, fat and foolish, make a new beginning? Can your years of smoking, drinking and overeating be redeemed? Can their broken, dysfunctional family learn to love? Is there light for this darkness? And if I play my part, and if I repent and start again, then will everything else change too? There was a sad piece in the paper this week about, well, last week now, about a woman who had surgery to help her lose weight. And it had worked, and it was wonderful. The trouble was her skin was still there. Well, of course, you need skin, as the song says, to hold you up and keep you in. Unfortunately, her skin was now acres too large for the size of her slimmed down body. Anybody else see this? And the NHS, bless them, to whom I am deeply indebted, would do the surgery to solve the eating problem, to get her slimmed down so that she wouldn't get loads of other very difficult and life-threatening diseases, but they regarded the problem with the skin as a cosmetic matter. Meanwhile, back at home, she gets into bed with her husband and her skin. He has to be careful where he puts his elbow because of the skin. And when she gets dressed in the morning, she has to stuff skin down. No. And he says, the husband, I used to have this round, cuddly wife. And now I can't come near her because of the skin. Is that just cosmetic? If I change, I make things around me change too. If I change, relationships I'm in will change. Family life will change if I change, because I'll be a different person. And at the trivial level, we could say, well, you know what it's like. One person in the family goes on a diet. Everybody's impacted in some way, aren't they? I can remember two of ours suddenly announcing they were vegan. And when the next feast came round, this was like Christmas and Easter, you know, we scoured the supermarkets for suitable food for their arrival, and they said, oh, we're not vegan anymore. That only lasted 3 weeks. There was nothing decent to eat. I thought, well, you might have told us. And after a lifetime of vegetarianism, my same daughter-in-law is now a born-again meat eater, so there we are. If you change, you impact those around you. Now, to be more serious, could there be a better way for all of us, not just about diet, although that is serious, I know, not just about our little family and how we do things, could there be a better way for the human family beyond racial and religious hatred, beyond crime and violence, beyond injustice and warfare? Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. Well, says John the Baptist, this is the beginning. Being sorry, wanting to change, is the beginning. But beyond the beginning lies something else. And that is our real hope. Being sorry is good, but on its own, it's not enough. Being sorry and being forgiven is good. It's the beginning. Beyond it lies the Spirit-filled life, the life which is being renewed in God's image, the energy and creative power of love, holy love, Holy Spirit. This Spirit who broods over our human chaos breaks in upon us at this time, Mark writes. Jesus came at this time. God breaks in through Jesus. And the Spirit broke in. Jesus had his epiphany. Did you notice the dove descending? The voice? You are my beloved Son, in you I'm well pleased. God comes to us through Jesus where we are, joins us in the waters of baptism, in the depths of our need of repentance. This act prefiguring the cross where he deals with our sin. This divine energy of creative love is with us, down in the depths with us. And this word became flesh, came to reconcile and to mediate God's forgiveness of sins, this one, this person, is the one who receives and passes on the Spirit. Beyond the beginning lies new life in Christ. The calling to share his vocation of identification, incarnation, transformation, sacrifice, love, empowered and being transformed by the same Holy Spirit. John's baptism was a baptism in token of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That was the beginning. But beyond it lay a whole new life. Because mere religion does not transform us. And doctrinal correctness does not transform us. And intellectual brilliance does not transform us. God's Holy Spirit brings us into a personal relationship of love and trust with the creative energy we call God, who is our source and our guide and our goal, and that is what transforms us. This Holy Spirit renews us in God's image and recreates in us the life of Christ, enabling us to love and serve, witness and reconcile. And that happens to us as individuals, and it happens to us as a community. As Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. And the same word can mean the kingdom of God is among you. And this is all we have to offer to the world, and it is all that is needed. Of course, we never stray far from the beginning. In this life, sin is always possible. And the call to keep realigning our lives with the life of Christ is constant, which is why when we meet for worship and we meet for fellowship, we always make a space, an opportunity for confession. Real deep fellowship, what the word also means, communion, deep fellowship with God and with each other demands that level of honesty where we can say that we've got it wrong, just as sometimes we're glad to say we got it right. We got the point. We saw the light. But that level of honesty and fellowship is also the time when we remember again through the words of Scripture and through the words of our hymns and through our conversations with each other and through the sermon and all the rest of it, the action of Christ on our behalf. The baptized one who bore our sins, became our sacrifice, died our death, rose again, who fills the universe with his presence, who reconciles us to God. Out of that forgiveness springs a whole new life. The light is good, and the light is distinct from the darkness. Walk in the light. Receive that light into your inmost being, and you will live beyond the beginning at peace with God, who recognizes you as his child, his children, who loves you and who delights in you and who will use you to be Christ in today's world. And to his name be the praise and the glory, now and forever. Amen.